Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CCL Products India Limited Q1 FY24 conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Hello everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome all the participants to CCL Products India Limited 1Q FY24 earnings conference call. The management is represented by Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, CEO, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. V. Lakshmi Narayana, CFO, Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary, and Mr. P. S. Rao, Consultant Company Secretary. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Praveen sir for his opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. I welcome you all to this call. Just to give you a small snapshot of the performance in Q1, if we look at the group has achieved a turnover of rupees 654.93 crores, which is almost 28.5% growth over last year for the first quarter, as compared to 509.28 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit stands at around 60.71 as against 52.74, which is the growth of 15.1%. The EBITDA is at 106.6 crores, which is also an increase of 20%. Profit before tax is 69.42 for this quarter. So this is a small snapshot of the performance, and I welcome you, and I open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Mustafa Arif with Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on your results, and thank you for the opportunity. I would just like to know, could you please provide us the capacity and the timeline for execution on your projects in Krishnapalem and in Tirupati?
Okay. So just to add a couple of things here. If you know, last year, March, we added the NCL capacity. So from 37,000-38,000 metric ton annual capacity, we moved to around 55,000 tons. Sorry. That plant is fully operational now. Now, the next project, which is the spray dried at Tirupati, that is, we are slated to start next year, March, which is like end of this year. So another 16,000 metric tons will be added at that point of time, and that will take us to around 70,000-71,000 metric tons. And subsequently, next financial year, quarter two, which is July-September quarter, we are looking to add another 6,000 metric tons of freeze-dried capacity in Vietnam. And that will probably, at a group level, will take us to around 76,000-77,000 metric tons of capacity, both spray dried and freeze-dried included.
Thank you. Also, could you clarify the cost?
So cost at India, it is around 400 crores, yeah, the spray dried cost. And at Vietnam, will also be very similar cost, around $50 million for the freeze-dried capacity.
Great. Thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rakesh Wadhwani with Monarch. Please go ahead.
Hi, Chad. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know the thought process behind the acquisition that we have done, how we are planning to expand the business, what will be the working capital involved or the capex that the firm will be doing for that business. That is first question from my side.
Okay. Your voice was actually breaking in between, but if I have understood you right, you asked me about the thought process behind the acquisition. So if you would have followed us, what we did was 5-6 years ago we started to build our own brand and we launched Continental Coffee in India. After 5 years operation, we saw that we have been able to reasonably create a brand turnover for us ourselves in India, and that's when we said that we need to take steps forward into our B2C foray, which meant that either we build brands, further strengthen our brands in India, launch our brands in other parts of the world, or see if there is some, valuable acquisition that is available. And if that is there, it will help us, strengthen our B2C portfolio and our vision to create brands for ourselves. And that's when this, acquisition came our way, Percol and Rocket Fuel. So these are brands actually we helped Brian Chapman, who originally started this brand, helped him to create the product profile and launch these brands in the UK market. So there was already a connect from our side as far as these brands were concerned. And we thought that it would be a very good opportunity for us to enter into a UK market because this brand is already, already present there. It has got certain equity there. So it will be much easier for us to build this brand rather than, start from the scratch. And that's why we acquired these brands. And as of now, we are working with our partners in UK, which is Sukafina, to, resurrect this brand, relaunch it. And in another, 3 to 4 years' time, we are looking to create, probably a 100 crore portfolio from these brands in UK. So that's the thought process behind the acquisition.
So just wanted to the revenue from the brand in the last 1-2 years, what was the revenue that they were doing?
So they actually, when we bought, their revenue is close to around 20 crores, 18 to 20 crores. Yeah. So that is the revenue that they are doing right now. And as I was telling you, in another 3 to 5 years, probably we are looking to scale it up to close to 100 crores. Let's see how things pan out for us in the future.
Just last question from my side. Any reason for not taking the Continental Coffee brand that is we sell in the domestic market to the international market? Because we have already good positioning here, good advertising, good brand image. Reason for not taking the Continental brand there?
There's no specific reason. We will take Continental brand to other parts of the world as well. But, there are certain markets, the very mature markets, especially the European markets, the American markets, their brand building is a very, very tough exercise. It's very, very resource consuming. You have to spend a lot to build a brand from the scratch. So we weighed our options there that how do we take it forward. And, in the long term, probably we could integrate some of these brands into our own brand architecture of Continental. But these are all, thought processes that will evolve as we go along, as we see how brands are evolving. But not to say that we don't want to take Continental. We will definitely take Continental as well to a few places outside India as well.
That's it from my side. Thank you. I'll back. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vidit Shah with IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first one was around, the margin profile. We saw about 22% consol margins. That's fallen to about 16% in 1Q. What's been the key driver? I see that the standalone margins have been somewhat stable. Of the standalone business. So what's happened in the subsidiaries that has, sort of driven the margins down?
Nothing much with it. Actually, if you see that we still, like it happened last year also, there was, it looks like the margins have dipped. because we are comparing EBITDA to the as a percentage of top line. But what is happening is in both the years, the coffee prices, you know, they are on a rise, and we are getting around 10 to 15% higher value for a like-to-like volume. So we still are growing volume at around 18-20%, which means if you were to see our EBITDA margins per kg of coffee sold remains intact. However, optically, you know, because the coffee prices have gone up and we work on cost-plus model, it looks like the EBITDA margins as a percentage to top line is coming down. But that's nothing, nothing to worry about, because what will happen is that when the coffee prices soften or when they go down, you will see opposite trends. You will see that, the EBITDA margins to top line will start, increasing as well. So it is more because of the coffee price, bean price increasing rather than any efficiency in the operating margins.
Got it. And the recently commissioned, capacity in Vietnam, what's the utilization that we are currently operating at?
So I'll just break it down into two parts with it. One is the earlier capacity, which was 13,500 to 14,000, that we are operating at optimum. And when I say optimum, it always means around close to 85 to 95%, let's say, depending on the kind of product that you are doing. And the new capacity, which is 16,000 tons, that we are operating at 50% capacity as of now.
Okay. Got it. And this is likely to go up as the year passes, right?
So, Vijit, this year we had given a guidance that probably for the full year, we'll get to see 50% utilization of the new capacity, yeah? So overall, if you add all of them together, probably we'll be at around, because full of this thing, so around 70-odd% of the total capacity at Vietnam, 70-75%.
Okay. Got it. And the branded business that we have in India, the B2C right. business, that is about 250 crores of revenue in F23. With the new acquisitions in UK, does the focus shift towards building that business, and this growth profile is likely to slow down in the domestic market, or are we likely to see 30-40% growth going forward as well in the domestic business?
Yeah, so Vidit, actually, what you said in the second half is right. We are not going to shift any of the focus from one business to the other. So therefore, if you see for the UK business, we have partnered with our longtime partner, Sukafina, who is taking care of a lot of execution for us there. So it's only at a strategic level that we are giving our inputs as of now from here. And no let up in, push in the domestic business. So that will continue to grow at 30-40%. We'll keep driving it as aggressively as we have been.
Okay. And any pushback that we've seen from customers, our B2B customers in the UK, given that now we are venturing out in the B2C space out there?
Not really. We are actually making sure that we don't overlap into either, product profiles or territory. So that is something we are taking care of, and till now we haven't seen any sort of pushback.
Okay, I will get back in queue for more, but thanks a lot for these guys.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amar Maurya with Alpha Accurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
I joined the call late. So if you can help me understand...
I'm sorry to interrupt you there. If you could please use your handset.
Yeah.
Your audio is too low.
Is it clear? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Amar. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So can you help me understand what was the volume growth at an overall level in this quarter?
So around 18-20%.
Okay, 18-20% volume growth. So that means, sir, your EBITDA per ton would have gone down, right, in that case?
No, not really. Not really. If you see, EBITDA growth is also 20% at an overall level, yeah?
No, I'm talking sequential EBITDA. EBITDA per ton.
No, don't see sequential, because there will be variations in quarter to quarter. So there would have been certain things in the last quarter, a type of profile send and all that. So that is not really a good thing to see. I would advise that you see it in a little long periods of time, because you know the way the contracts are. Sometimes sometimes your higher margin contracts are skewed towards a quarter. Sometimes your signal effect makes it getting skewed to certain other quarter. So keeping all that in mind, I think it's better to see at a long-term perspective. And therefore, you know, to negate the seasonal impacts and these quarterly impacts, we generally see at Y on Y. And if you see that, I think both volume growth and EBITDA are perfectly in line.
Okay, got that. And secondly, sir, is it like your second quarter in terms of your EBITDA per ton is the best quarter?
No, we can't say that. Again, as I was telling you just a while away, it will really depend on how the the orders are scheduled, which quarter, which kind of, you know, in some quarter, suppose I get more of the small pack orders, you know, my EBITDA per kg improved in that quarter. Or some quarter your freeze dried gets a little more loaded than the other one. So all these things will play a role. So difficult to comment, but generally because of seasonal impact, quarter three and quarter four are generally the a little bigger quarter than the other quarters.
Got that. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Bhavya Sonawala with Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, Bhavya, you're audible.
Yeah, so just one question. I just want to understand, going forward, what kind of opportunity do we have in innovation of new products? I mean, is there some scope for us going forward? Just want to understand on those lines.
Bhavya, we keep on working on a lot of product innovations, lot of product development, we try and keep gauging the market, the trends that are developing in the market. So whether it was, you know, freeze-dried at some point of time, whether it was instant cold brew that we developed, and now we are looking to kind of, you know, see if we can do something in specialty coffee. There is a lot of interest around the globe around specialty coffee, specialty instant coffee. So we are working on a lot of projects with a few client of ours to develop the specialty coffee, and that is one of the reasons why we had set up the mini plant, the pilot plant in our premises, and that was precisely for this reason that we could do some premium and specialty coffee in small quantities. And as and when the market demands. So a lot of these innovations have been going around. We are doing a lot of work. A lot of details I can't share with you right now. But yes, there is ample and enough work going around all of these.
Okay, that was really helpful. Just I remember three years ago we had mentioned that cold brew can be a decent opportunity. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it has been. We have seen a lot of success in instant cold brew. So we developed for one client. Now we are getting orders from many others as well. So that's picking up nice. And as I was mentioning to you, right now we are getting a lot of queries on, you know, specialty coffee, because all the time in any product category there is a certain trend of moving up the chain, and there's a lot of interest around these kind of coffees. So we are doing a lot of work on that front as well. Cold brew happens to be that innovation has already happened. It's now more about us trying to push the product, sell the product, create those success stories for a couple of clients, and then demonstrate to others that this could be a good product for them as well. So yeah, for cold brew, instant cold brew, we will keep trying to penetrate the market. And at the same time, yes, there are product innovations that are going on.
Okay, understood. So this last question, if I may squeeze in, in the domestic market, we have seen a lot of startups or new age brands come in with in the coffee segment. So trying to understand, how do we work with them? Is it kind of that we go to them with special mixes, or do they come to us having something in mind and we build something for them? So how does the business development work at initial stages?
So happens, you know, both ways. Sometimes what happens is that they will come to us and they would say that they want a certain profile of coffee or they want to do this. They have identified certain, you know, segments which they want to work on. So so there are times when they will come back to us. And then there are times when, you know, sometimes people will come to us and say they want to launch something. Can we share some product profiles with them or some market understanding? So work both ways, and that's the reason if you see for most of these startup guys, we have been supplying coffee to them and have been the exclusive suppliers to them. So work both ways.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lokesh Maru with Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on healthy set of volume growth. Just wanted one thing on what would be our expected depreciation and interest cost for the year. It was like, let's say depreciation was 22, so is assuming 88 crores for the year and assuming 60 crores interest cost, is that the right way or may it change?
This is Lakshman here. The interest cost, it will be in line with the cost that we incurred for this Q1. It's going to be in a similar way for the remaining three quarters as well.
And the same goes for depreciation?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kashyap Javeri with MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations for a great set of numbers. Two questions from my side. One, in the brand acquisitions that we have done, what additional investments are we going to do in terms of any working capital? That's question number one. And second is, what was the gross debt as at the end of 30th of June, in light of the fact that our interest cost quarter on quarter has also jumped up by about almost 50%.
So I'll just take up the first one, and I'll just ask CFO to give you the details for your second part. So on the first part, as far as the investment required, we really won't be requiring any additional working capital investments per se. On the acquisitions, because we are looking to, it's an already a running brand, the sales are at around 18-20 crores, so we are looking to kind of, you know, break even on that business. At best, maybe a crore here or there probably could be required, which is insignificant, you know, really. So there won't be any additional investment that we'll put in into that business. And
question over there, as we go forward and we look at this inorganic route for the brand business, should one what's the strategy there? How much is the cap on what we are going to continue to invest there, if there is any?
So, you know, difficult to kind of give you a gap or something like that, but as we have been telling you that, we entered into brand building business 5-6 years ago, and what we believe is that we need to, you know, develop this segment, grow aggressively on segment, not only in India, but international markets as well. Now, international market, we had two choices. One is to launch our own brand, and one is to see if there are some valuable acquisitions that is there, because, you know, in some of the mature markets, brand building is an expensive exercise. Keeping all this in mind, when this acquisition came our way, we thought it's a good buy for us to start building a brand in UK market, and that's the reason we went ahead and bought this brand. So that is the whole thought process. We haven't put a number to it that okay, these are the number, these many acquisitions we'll do, or this is the value of acquisitions we'll do. Fundamentally, we were looking to grow organically itself. But since this was a good opportunity that came our way, we thought that it would be a good acquisition that will fit into our scheme of things.
But can this meaningfully add to our debt? Because see, we are generating about 200 crores kind of cash flow a year, and our own manufacturing capex requirements are roughly about 400 crores kind of a number each. So in light of that, you know what could be the strategy?
So very, very difficult to say that whether, you know, I would do an acquisition which will add to a debt right now or not, because yes, we will look at the balance sheet, the health of the balance sheet and everything before doing any, you know, big acquisition. But I cannot say no to this also, because, you know, this debt will be there for, let's say, next 3-4 years. But let's say next 3-4 years later, if something very worthwhile comes in and our debt positions are eased out by that time, by that point of time, there could be a strategy of, doing an acquisition. But these are all, you know, these are all things that may come up in the future. Difficult to comment right now. Unless and until, because, you know, 6 months or a year ago, we didn't even think that we would acquire a brand, yeah. But because the value was good and it was not disturbing the balance sheet, it was in line with our vision, and therefore we went ahead and bought the brand.
Sure. And the gross debt number?
Yeah. CFO can just give you that number. Hello, Ms. Lakshmi Rana, are you able to hear us? Yeah, can you give the number?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah. Coming to the debt issue, and at the console level, we'll be having a working capital debt of almost around 1,000 crores. Around 600 crores it is going to be at India, and 400 crores it is going to be with the subsidiary. That is the working capital side. And coming to the debt component, at the console level, it is going to be at 600 crores. This is what it is going to be on 31st March 24.
Sorry, this is as of?
31st March 24,
okay.
The end of the financial year.
But as of today?
As of today, it will be, we have only 160 crores is the long-term debt, around 200 crores is the long-term debt, and around 750 crores is the working capital.
Okay, and what would be the inventory number as at the end of the quarter versus about 578?
Inventory number, yeah, inventory number, we have almost around 550 crores.
Okay, so it's like stable quarter on quarter.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manoj Gori with Aquarius Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. Yeah.
So, sir, my question here would be, if you look at the healthy volumes that we have been reporting for a while now, so in the current quarter, probably in FY23 as well, what would have been the volume mix with regards to higher wallet share from the older clients? So here, when I say older clients, probably clients which are associated before FY21, and probably what would be the volume mix or probably volume driver by the new client acquisitions?
So, it's actually a bit of both. So there has been volume increase because of the fact that we have been able to sell more to our older clients also, and probably increase our wallet share in their wallet. And we also got new clients. Now, it will be, you know, difficult for me to kind of put an exact number to them. But yes, there is a mix of both that has been happening. There is also, you know, what happens is that it's a continuous process. So there are a lot of new clients that we probably would have developed over the last 3-5 years. So even the volumes with them have grown. So it's kind of, you know, combination of all these three factors that has led to a consistent volume growth over past few quarters.
Right. Qualitatively, on a softer note, a softer aspect probably where I look at the company. So obviously when we are saying about like high teens kind of volume guidance probably for a few years now, so what would be the driver? So what's the pipeline with regards to new client acquisitions? And probably if you look at what is the scope left, from the older clients with regards to higher wallet share? Because when you look at, obviously, the coffee market is not growing at such an exponential pace. So I just want to understand on the softer aspect, like the quality of volume that we would be driving in the coming years.
So, I'll give you a little broad perspective. If you see the, you're absolutely right, the coffee market is growing at a low single digit. And considering the fact that we are growing at a healthy double-digit volume growth, it really means that we are actually, you know, gaining shares in the market. Now, qualitatively, what is helping us gain shares in the market? As I told you, it's like there is a constant acquisition of new clients. There is a constant ability for us to keep supplying more to our old clients and therefore increase shares. Now, new clients are also two types. One is that we develop, you know, just let's say within a period of a year. Then there are new clients which probably we have developed over the last 3-4 years. So all of them add to the volume. But let's say qualitatively one would ask that what is helping us do this? There are 2-3 factors which is helping us, you know, gain shares in the market. One is, of course, because as we have, you know, growing big and as we are adding volumes, of course, you know, economies of scale work in our advantage, and therefore our ability to be very efficient in terms of our cost, that becomes one of the driving factors. The second driving factor is our ability to innovate and be able to give different kinds of products to our clients. So that is one more ability if, you would have kind of, you know, followed our policy. We've always maintained that we construct our factories in such a way. We have got our R&D, you know, very strong R&D as our backup. So all these help us to, you know, gain shares in the market. Just to give you a small, you know, this thing set up, suppose our old client, now obviously a lot of our clients are big into coffee and they do various kinds of coffee products. Now if they want a new coffee product to be developed for them, for a new market, let's say, TCL becomes a very obvious choice because of our ability to be able to give the kind of product they want. Yeah. So that's the, these are some of the reasons, and of course our network of our you know, setups across the globe, our marketing associates, all of these, you know, at a combined level play a role. Very difficult to say how much percentage one has to each of these pillars, but yes, as a consolidated thing, when all of these things work, it helps you to get that kind of a volume growth.
Right, sir. So that was very helpful. My second question would be, so if you look at probably a few years back, we were very clear that we don't want to get into international market with branded, for branded business. So probably what what led to change of our stance over there and get into branded business into UK market as of now? And probably would we evaluate other markets as well in the coming years?
So just to kind of, you know, correct the context, we never said that we'll never go into the international market. The reason was that at that point of time, we were just beginning to start our own B2C setup, yeah? And you know the whole DNA of a B2C setup, the way the brands are to be, you know, handled and the way brand building happens, it's a completely different ballgame. So we were not sure of ourselves that whether we'll be able to do that thing or not. So that is why we were not very clear at that point of time that what route our B2C segment will take. But, you know, 5 years of operation in the Indian market, and we have seen that in these 5 years, we have become the number 3 player and we have created a sustainable business here. So that, you know, that led to this thought that if we are doing it in India, why not build our own brands across the globe, considering that we have a fair bit of knowledge what's happening across the globe as far as coffee is concerned. And that's when we said that, okay, whether it is our brands that we may launch in some of the countries across the globe, or if some good acquisitions that come our way, which Percol came our way and we acquired that, we will take that route. So Percol came our way and we bought that brand, and we thought that UK is a good market where we can create our own brand. Now, coming to your last part of the question, that do we have plans to go to other markets? Yes, we are evaluating as of now that which are the other markets that we can go into. A lot of thought is being put in, which are good lucrative markets, which segments we can go. Somebody had asked that, you know, whether it is in conflict with our B2B clients. So that also we do evaluate that we don't kind of, you know, create an overlap with them, with the already existing brands whom we supply to. So keeping all of that mind, we are, you know, evaluating, and very soon you'll be seeing that we will be kind of, you know, entering some of the markets across the globe with our brands as well.
Sure, sir. So one more question, if I may. So on the domestic market, obviously we have done extremely well. Probably we have, there are n number of efforts that we have taken. So where do we stand currently, and probably what are the untapped areas where we need to focus on going forward? And probably what would be the target, aspirational target for the branded business, probably from FY26, FY27 perspective with regards to sales and EBITDA margin?
You loaded a lot many things into one, but yeah, I'll try and answer them quickly. Domestic market, we continue to apply the pressure. So obviously, once we have created a small base for ourselves, the next set of things is to penetrate the market even further. So like, for example, today we are present in a lakh outlet. We are going to probably go to increase it by 30-40%, so go to around 1,30,000 to 1,50,000 outlets this year. So that will be, a penetration driving exercise for us. We are looking to go into many more markets. We have been fairly strong in South, but the other zones are still not as strong. So we kind of build the brand in the other zones as well. And as far as, going forward, what it looks like, of course, we are looking to kind of, double this in next 2-3 years. So let's see how things pan out. Because, this is such a dynamic situation. We are growing. There are a lot of things that are involved in, brand building, right from not only building the brand, but also from a distribution perspective and things like that. So a lot of work is going on, and as we speak, every time we speak, something new comes up. So there's a lot of action there. We'll keep updating on that. And as far as EBITDA margins are concerned, see, we have broken even last year. Next 2-3 years, because the kind of aggression that we want to build on and the kind of resources that we want to deploy, we are saying that next 2-3 years also, we will keep breaking on the EBITDA and probably not look to milk it right now. But keep investing in brand building, and probably at a later stage when the brand itself is, 300 to 350 crores, that is when we'll start to reevaluate, saying that now do we start, building EBITDA, or we need to, keep investing even more to get aggressive top lines. So all this is that much more dynamic right now, and we'll take it as we go along.
Thanks, sir. So this was very helpful. Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akshay Chheda with Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So thank you for the opportunity. So two questions. So first is that how do you look to ramp up the new facilities that you are going to set up? I mean, the first one is in the Vietnam and the second one in the India. Would it be at the similar pace, the ones you have done in the past, or would it be a little faster considering the demand drivers and the demand driver that you spoke in some previous questions? That is the first question. And second is, sir, how is the visibility for the same? So yeah, these are the two questions, sir. Thank you.
So very simple, so first part. So we are not looking at, how fast or how slow we did it in past. Forward going, we have given a guidance that for next 2-3 years, we are looking to drive volumes by, 18 to 20%. So if you're going to drive volume by 18 to 20%, that means that these capacities will be required. In the next 3 to 4 years' time, you'll see that this capacity will be probably operating at between 80 to 20%, 80 to 100%. So that is the whole growth objective. And because of that growth objective, we have put the capacities. So that's our guidance, and that is why the backup for the capacities that have come up.
Okay, and so order book visibility, if you can put some light, so how are you booked?
Order book visibility works like this. So let's say freeze-dried. Freeze-dried next almost 1 year, or let's say 1.5 years, we almost sold out. We are booked fully. Spray dried, we generally will have varying degrees of visibility. So if you look at next 3 months, we have 100% visibility. Yeah. Next 6 months, we are approximately at 75% visibility. And next 1 year, we are probably at a 50% visibility. So that's how on a rolling basis it keeps happening. And that's the kind of visibility we generally see. Sometimes, like when there is a higher demand for a certain product type, like a freeze dried, so we have a better visibility for next 1.5 years. Yeah. But at an overall level, we follow this kind of, we have seen this kind of a visibility for ourselves.
So when you say this visibility, so is it a confirmed thing and what?
Yeah, yeah. When I say visibility, it is confirmed thing. Yeah.
But what happens if the customer doesn't honor it, sir?
No. So it's all contracted volumes. It is not, you know, verbal or casual, this thing. These are all well contracted, documented, and this thing volumes. These are not, you know, these are not verbal things or something like that, soft communication. So I don't account for any soft communication when I say my next 3 months visibility is 100%.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. This was helpful.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohan Gupta with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, couple of questions. First is on our volume growth guidance. We are still confident about almost double digit, as much as 18 to 20% volume growth over next 3 to 4 years. And for that, we are adequately building the capacities as well. In last 2 to 3 years, we have seen that definitely in the post-pandemic environment and geopolitical issues, with Russia and Brazil losing the market share, all these things have helped in last 2 to 3 years to gain the volume growth. But sir, now the world is normalizing and coming back to the earlier level, to the normalcy, with almost the supply chain getting back to the previous level. But we are still building a very solid volume growth. If we look at historically, we have never seen such a volume growth for a longer period, 5 to 6 years in a row. So what, just want to understand what has changed in the global environment that giving us the confidence that we will be continuously able to grow and gain market share globally significantly in as far as the volume growth is concerned.
So, okay, just on the first part, you know, probably the geopolitical thing, the COVID thing probably provided some triggers, but they were not the pillars for our volume growth. Yeah. So the pillars of the volume growth remains the same as I've been mentioning. It's our economies of scale that work in our favor. Yeah. So therefore, it helps you to be competitive in the market. If you see our current volumes, we probably are 8% of the total B2B coffee market. Yeah. So when you are at a single percent, you know, market share, you know that, and with the kind of abilities that we have, which is about, you know, the strength of volume that we have, we build a lot of economies of scale, the R&D and the our ability to give a differentiated coffee and therefore get that competitive edge in the market, our network that we have built over past so many years. So all of this put together, you know, gave us that confidence that we probably from an 8% market share could easily go to 15% market share. Yeah. And to fulfill those volume demands of going from 8 to 15, backed on the fact that, you know, our competitive edge in the market, which are multifold, we were very confident that we will be able to drive such kind of volume growth in the next at least 2 to 3 years.
Sir, we did benefited from the supply restriction from the European market to Russia and gain market there.
Yeah.
We also benefited from the Brazil market losing market share because of the unavailability of coffee and lower acceptance of their coffee in last 2 years, two and a half years. That has really helped us, India as a country. And we do have a sizable market share, 8% also. That makes us among the leading player globally in this supply chain for the coffee market. So, I mean, definitely we are aiming 15% market share. That is a very ambitious target according to me. But we are not a small player as far as the global market is concerned and market dynamics are concerned. So that's where I wanted to understand that.
Yeah.
Is it the customer confidence, customers relying more on us, or are we getting to offer them a small complete back-to-back complete supply chain where we are offering them even small pack solutions and all and everything? Is that something changing the business model, which is giving the confidence also coming from the customer also, that is that is going to drive this volume growth? That actually was my question.
Yeah, so absolutely. That, you know, when I said that our ability to be competitive in the market, the edge that we get, it all actually leads to customer confidence. You know, so let's say during COVID or during geopolitical tension, if that was a trigger, but not everybody who was situated in the safer geographies benefited. You know, last year, we kind of bought coffee from outside and sold it. So which means that the other players were having excess capacity, isn't it? In spite of the fact that they were in a similar situation like us, because they were also in a situation where they could have gained clients. But all of that didn't happen so easily because of the fact that we are able to. Why is the customer confidence very high? The customer confidence is very high because the customer knows that if they have a certain demand, CCL is well poised to commit to that demand and fulfill their demands. So all these things, and why CCL is able to fulfill their demands? Because they are very competitive in the market, because they will be able to provide the kind of coffee they want. They will be able to provide small pack, large packs in whatever formats you want. So our ability to deliver anything and everything under the sun gives us that competitive advantage to be, able to gain more and more market share.
So you want to say that definitely COVID and geopolitical tension did trigger some increase in volume growth, but now because the world and the customers have known to our capabilities, it will, the advantage we will continue even in next 3 to 4 years in terms of gaining market share.
Yes, yes.
And sir, irrespective of that, we are now getting vocal about getting into global retail markets as well, where I think that definitely we will be having a conflict of interest. You did touch upon on this part a little bit, but definitely there will be conflicts of interest in terms of when we have a retail ambition. So despite that, you see that there won't be any re-dialogues or any complaint from our clients, and because we're getting into the business model of retail as well as globally, not only just in India?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because I told you that we'll be very careful on that front as well. So it's not that we are going to tread on somebody's foot or step on them. But yeah, we have our ambition to build our own brands, to go into retail, and that we'll continue to focus in a manner that it doesn't conflict, with most of our clients.
So just one more thing on our...
Yeah. Hello?
So the participant has disconnected his line or has left the question queue. We move on to our next question, which is from the line of Rohan Gupta. Please go ahead. Rohan, you there? Since there is no response, we move on to our next question, which is from the line of Vivek Ganguly with Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is regarding the interest and the balance sheet. So historically, you all had an interest rate of about, 3-3.5%. So what is the interest rate that you all are paying now on the outstanding debt? One, and secondly, what is the total outstanding debt as we speak, Q1, and what will it peak at, when the other two new facilities come online? That's all from my side.
Gentlemen, regarding the rate of interest, as against the earlier rate of 3%, now we are witnessing that the rate of interest is going up. Presently, we are paying around 8-6% is the rate of interest we are paying.
Six percent. Okay.
Yeah. And coming to the debt, as of now, we have a total debt of working capital as well as the term loan at the group level. It is around 1150 crores. And when we 1150, and when we complete two facilities, one is in India, which is under CCL Food and Beverages, and as well FT facility in Vietnam, which is with 50 million. And the total debt is likely to be around 2,000 crores.
Yeah.
which includes the working capital 1,050 crores and the term loan 1,000 crores.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh with Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just a quick follow-up on the 2,000 crore debt number you mentioned. Is it likely to peak out in fiscal year 25 or even later?
Sorry, not able to hear you properly.
My question was that this 2,000 crore of debt, when do you plan to be having this kind of debt? Will it be in fiscal 25 or in fiscal 26?
Yeah.
For fiscal 24, March 24, it is likely to be working capital plus term loan, it is likely to be around 1750 crores. And the year March 25, it will come down with the additional borrowings to our non-coffee Vietnam, it is another 300 crores. So what I would like to convey is that the 31st March 24, it was around 1700 crores, and March 25, it is around 2000 crores.
Okay, March 25, it will get to 2000 crores, and that would be the
yes.
peak level of debt that you're communicating to us.
That's right, okay. You're right.
Okay, understood. And then my other question was, when both of these capacities are online, let's say 3-4 years down the road, when you have fully ramped them up, what will be our percentage of retail revenue in the total revenue?
That's a little tight one, because we are kind of taking it both separately. On the retail side, we are saying that we are continuing to grow at 30-40%. Considering that the coffee prices have also been growing and we are aggressively growing on the B2B side as well, the resultant percentage is something difficult to kind of gauge at this point of time, and also probably not a right matrix at this point of time, because it will all depend on how things go forward from here. So yeah, so that's not a number, that's not a matrix that we are actually internally looking at. What we are looking at is that in both the segments, how can we grow aggressively?
Right. No, but I'm saying this ballpark, like, for example, if let's say it was 2030.
No, if the retail, suppose in the next 3 years, the coffee prices are on the boil and your B2B itself becomes 3,000-4,000 crores and the retail is 600-700, maybe 800 crores. So it's still, let's say, that is 15-20%. But really will depend, if the coffee prices soften and that 4,000 becomes 3,000 and the retail is at 1,800, because retail is not led by coffee prices. There the pricing is very different. It is more, benchmarked with the competition, your price elasticity in the market and things like that. Whereas the B2B is completely... dependent on the coffee prices because of the cost plus model. Yeah, so the resultants could be very different in both the scenarios.
Understood. Thank you. That was very helpful. My other question was that you were talking about your market share being around 8% or so. Has it been the case that some competitors have gone bankrupt or moved out of this space, and that's why you are seeing this kind of superb growth over the last few years? Can you just give a sense of the structure of the industry a bit on the B2B side? That would be helpful.
That's not the right thing. The competitors haven't gone bankrupt. But what happens is that we'll have two sets of competitors, isn't it? There are small competitors and the large ones. So small competitors obviously lose out on the on their ability to service large quantities, their ability to service competitively, and their ability to service on a variety of products. Yeah, so that is one thing that helps us give that competitive advantage. And as far as the large competitors are concerned, again, couple of other things like our ability to do different types of products. We have told you quite a number of times that when we construct our facility, we make sure that a single machine or a single unit can give me many kinds of blends, and therefore our ability to innovate becomes that much more higher. See, a client comes to us with a need saying that I want a certain type of coffee. If you aren't able to deliver that kind of a blend or that kind of a product to him, his confidence in you will go down. So that is what CCL builds over a period of time, that confidence and trust amongst large customers and even the smaller ones, saying that, okay, if I were to go to CCL, these guys are going to help me out with the product. They will be certainly competitive when the pricing is concerned. And of course, to add to it, the kind of network that we have built over the past 25 years does help us in getting new clients or adding more volumes with the already existing clients. So all of them combined together, you know, kind of helps us give that competitive advantage.
Understood. Thank you so much. That was all.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akhil Parekh with Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question or rather clarification on the debt part. If I look at last quarter's con call transcripts, right, we have categorically mentioned that our debt position at peak level would be 1200 crore and now we are guiding it for 2000 crore. So what has changed sequentially on a quarter on quarter basis that is leading us to give higher debt guidance? That's all from my side.
Hello? I think...
Hello? Hello?
Is Lakshmi Narayana online? He messaged me saying that he's got disconnected. Just, can you reconnect with him?
So I'm trying to call him.
Yeah.
Number is not going through. Just give me a moment, sir.
Question, we'll get back to you. I think... Lakshmi Narayana is not able to connect, but we will separately ask Sridevi to connect, you know, separately with him and, you know, address your query.
Sure, no worries. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line of Mr. Lakshmi Narayana connected.
Ah, okay. Akhil, you can go ahead.
Yeah. No, my question was on the gross debt position, right? Till last quarter, we mentioned that our peak debt levels would be at 1200 crore because of the two capacity expansions which we're doing in India and Vietnam. But now we are guiding for a much higher debt guidance of 2000 crore. So what has changed sequentially in last 3 months? That's my question.
Actually, if you look at it, 35 million, which we are intending to avail funding for our non-cost Vietnam operation, which is equivalent to almost 300 crore. And the second is that increasing the working capital at Vietnam land because of the increase in the capacity from up to 30,000 tons, which calls for the additional working capital. And also the increase in the working capital at Indian operations, which counts to by March 25, the total debt is likely to reach to 2,000 crores. That is the reason. One is almost around 400 to 450 crores is towards working capital, and around 300 crores is the term loan that is going to be coming place in 24-25, which makes the total debt to reach to 2,000 crores.
Okay. But this was the same assumptions we had, right? Like last quarter as well. So it's quite perplexing actually why the debt position.
No, working capital, we need to count on the working capital increase and which is coming up now almost around 500 crores.
Okay. So when we reach 2000 crore of debt, what would be the working capital debt and what would be the long-term debt?
Yeah, it is around 1,050 crores. 1,000 crores is going to be the long-term debt and 1,000 crores is going to be the working capital at the group level.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dhiral with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So what was the branded revenue business that we did in Q1 FY24?
So in this year, we did a total business of around 65 crores, out of which around 40 crores will be branded business.
Okay, and so what was the utilization of the domestic facility, spray dried and freeze dried, in Q1?
Full.
Okay, so 85% to 90%.
Yeah, when we say full, yeah, it will be close to 90%.
Okay, and so lastly, on the again on the debt part, so at 2,000 crore kind of a you know debt, what kind of interest outflow you know we can consider?
On average, you can take it at 6%.
Okay, so around 120 crore.
Yeah, yeah. That's March 25. If you look at the end financial year 25.
Okay, okay, okay. Got your point, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nirav Savai with Abacus AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding this gross margin contraction which we have seen in subsidiary companies. So what has led to it and how do we see this going forward, particularly on the Vietnam side?
At the cost of repeating, this is actually not contraction, because when we do cost plus model, with around 10 to 15% or so higher coffee prices leads to higher top line. So if you see our volume growth is, let's say, 18 to 20%, our top line is 28%. Yeah. So there is at an overall level. So what happens is that optically, as a percentage to top line, your EBITDA margin seems to have dropped. But if you look at your per kg EBITDA, which is top line growth over EBITDA growth, if you see, both are in line. So both are close to 20%. Which means that EBITDA per kg is the same that we have been getting over the previous periods.
Okay, but then Indian operations, we don't see a big change. It is more on the Vietnam operations where, you know, cross.
So, you know, again,
contracted more.
So there will be, you know, variations because of the kind of products that you did in a quarter, or a kind of sales that you did in a quarter. So a lot of things goes into it. Very difficult to, you know, threadbare decode it, in the sense that did it happen because of lack of efficiencies, or did it happen because of lack of, or, you know, the kind of products that you sold and things like that. But what I would say, and therefore, is that at a consolidated level, at a longer period level, if you were to see, our volume growth and our EBITDA growths will be in line, meaning that the efficiencies are on track.
Right, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. And thank you, Nirmal Bang, for organizing the call. We look forward to meeting you all after the second quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if at all there is any other questions, please, you can reach directly to us, send an email, and we'll be happy to address your queries.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.